This is a special program on Multicultural 1600 AM, so please stay tuned.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
And welcome, everyone, to another exciting edition of the Portuguese American Hour, live here on KGST 1600 AM Multicultural Radio. I'm Dinis Borges, and along with me is Justice Neves.
How's it going, Dinis?
It is going great. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm over here on the board today because we have no Esmeralda, but I think I can hold this down.
I bet you can. I know you can. I'm counting on you because I can't. So anyway, thank you all for joining us. Thank you, Justice, for your assistance and for co-hosting this with me. The Portuguese American Hour is a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at the California State University Fresno. We are now, as we call it, the daily dosage, correct?
The daily dose of Portuguese American Hour.
That's right. Project that began about 2 months ago as a once a week project. It is now a daily event. So do listen to us. Do tell your friends. Do put it on your calendar. Do put it down on your phones. All those things that we use to remind ourselves. If you're driving or if you're at home or wherever you are, on regular AM radio, on your app, on your phone apps, or at www.multicultural1600am.com. We are available, obviously, on your regular AM dial here in the Central Valley, on the phone apps anywhere in the world, and the same thing on live stream. So listen to us, and if you miss an episode, the exciting thing about it is that we are then will be archived, and you can listen to us as a podcast by going to the multiculturalam1600.com website, and all the programs are archived, so you can listen to us as a podcast later on. Don't wait too long. They won't be there forever, but at least in the next, if you miss one day and you go back a week or so later, they will be there. Today, we're going to be having a guest. It is a student, so I'm excited about that. Always excited when we have students. The guest, his name is Blake Martin, and Blake will be here. He is from the Tulare area. He is a student here at Fresno State, and he'll be talking about a unique project that he did, including with his family, talking about family legacy, talking about culture, talking about the Portuguese-American world. So we're excited to have him. He'll be a guest here with us on the Portuguese-American Hour. We will have a recipe for you. We will have our moment in Portuguese history, but we're going to do something a little bit different today, and that is that we are going to have three different songs. So we have a guest artist who will be singing for us, and her name is Cesária Évora. Cesária Évora is not from Portugal. She is from a Portuguese-speaking country, though, the country of Cabo Verde, Cape Verde Islands. The Cape Verde Islands are a chain of islands that are off the coast of Africa, and they have a unique type of music, which is called morna. And what is morna? Well, basically, the blues seem to appeal to many cultures, and they all have their takes on it. Morna is the Cape Verdean form of popular music. It kind of is more than to Cabo Verde what fado music is to Portugal. It's kind of the blues in a different way, whatever style you prefer. It is about life. It is about life not always being fun and games. But just like many of the national songs for other cultures, as I mentioned, the Portuguese have the fado, the Brazilian have the modinha or the samba, the Argentinians have the tango, the Angolans have the lamento. Morna is a music genre that stresses separateness, longing, wishfulness, and all the sadness of a disenfranchised people who have experienced pain. Lyrics are usually in the Cape Verdean Creole, so it's a mixture of native tongues with the Portuguese language. And the instrumentation often includes the cavaquinho, it includes the clarinet, the accordion, the violin, sometimes the piano, and always the guitar. Morna is the music of Cabo Verde, the Cape Verde Islands, an island country comprised of 15 islands in the Central Atlantic Ocean, about 354 miles west of the coast of Africa. Cabo Verde, Cape Verde, it was very important in the slave trade because of its location, hence some of the sadness. The land is very remote, it's rocky, and subject to a drought. Morna goes back about 150 years or so, and it's a complex hybrid of African and European cultures. It is the national music, as I mentioned, of Cabo Verde, the Cape Verde Islands, and it is very popular also in Cape Verdean communities all over the world. And even in California, we do have an older and now much integrated into American mainstream and California mainstream. But we had a group of Cape Verdeans that immigrated to California to the Sacramento area who have since integrated into California society and are now not just in Sacramento, but throughout various parts of the state. Some of the folks who study music, musicologists, trace the genre back to a genre called the Lundum from Africa, most likely Angola. It is a dance song from the Bantu tribe, which spread through various regions of Africa. So slaves brought it to Brazil, where it was popular among the elite and even became Brazil's first national dance. And then, obviously, Brazilians developed their own, and samba is the national, samba and others are national dances of Brazil. There was also a genre in Cabo Verde called the Chorus, which are plaintive songs, like working class songs. Morna is therefore considered a cross between the Lundum and the Chorus. Initially, Morna did not have any romantic themes, but they developed along with the genre itself. So we'll be talking a little bit more about it, but it is a music that we're going to feature today. And why? Because we are the Portuguese American Hour, but the Portuguese culture, although in the valley, very, very much part of the culture that came from the Azores Islands in the Atlantic North and a little bit from mainland Portugal and a little bit also from Madeira Islands. However, we are a culture that is intertwined with other cultures, and especially Azoreans have a very strong bond that has been developed especially in the last 50 years with the Cape Verde Islands. We are 9 islands, they are 15. We are island cultures, they are also island cultures. We were abandoned by Portugal, they were abandoned by Portugal. When I mean abandoned, it's not like, you know, Portugal mistreated us, but kind of left us off to ourselves. And that happened somewhat, or quite a bit, actually, in the Cabo Verde, the Cape Verde Islands. And so we have lots in common. And because the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at California State University Fresno is obviously about everything that's Portuguese, not just in Portugal and the Azores and Madeira, but the whole entire Portuguese-speaking world, which is a world of over 225 million speakers. So let's listen to a little bit of Cesária Évora. She is known as the queen of Mornas, and she has passed away just a couple of years ago. My wife and I had the distinct privilege of seeing her at Zarlabach Hall at UC Berkeley about 14, 15 years ago, and it was truly a unique experience. We'll talk a little bit about that and about the music that we're featuring today, Mornas from Cabo Verde. Here is Cesária Évora.
Esse caminho passando-me. Saudade. cloud. Soda, 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 disnya teva sunning cloud. Quem mostrava esse caminho longe? Quem mostrava esse caminho longe? Esse caminho passando me. Quem mostrava esse caminho longe? Quem mostrava esse caminho longe? Esse caminho passando me. Saudade, 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 diz minha terra sem enclau. Saudade. Saudade, saudade, diz minha terra sem enclau. Se vou escrever, muito a escrever. Se vou esquecer, muito a esquecer. Até dia que vou voltar. Se vou escrever, muito a escrever. Se vou esquecer, muito a esquecer. Até dia que vou voltar. Saudade, 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 desse minha terra sem enclau. Saudade, 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 desse minha terra sem enclau. Saudade, 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 desse minha terra sem enclau. Saudade.
And that is Cesária Évora. The style of music is from the islands of Cabo Verde, or Cape Verde in English, from a group of islands, 15 islands, a chain of islands, an island nation off of the coast of Africa. And Cesária is known as the queen of the Mornas. The music itself has now been introduced into the United Nations as a World Heritage music. So it is being now considered. It went already through two committees, just like the Fado is a World Heritage music from Portugal. The Mornas hopefully will also be a World Heritage music from this island nation. It is an independent nation, has been an independent nation since the after the revolution in Portugal in 1974. So they received their independence at the end of 1975, but it has some very, very close ties to Portugal. Cabo Verde has always had close ties to Portugal itself. The language, as I mentioned, those of you who may understand a little bit of Portuguese probably didn't understand much of what was going on, other than the word saudade, which comes from our Portuguese, saudado, which I've explained here as meaning longing for someone for a particular time, nostalgia, a mixture of different feelings. It is one of those words that said it can be translated. This is, she sang in Creole, in Cape Verdean Creole, which is a mixture of Portuguese with some of the native languages. As I mentioned, my wife and I, Niveri and I, have had a wonderful time listening to Cesária Évora at UC Berkeley. There were about 3,000 people, not just us and another 2,900 2,998. But most of them were not of Portuguese background. They were folks from different ethnicities who enjoy music, who enjoy world music. She sang for about 45 minutes. She then took a break. There was a little stand and a chair. She sat down. Her band, consisting at the time, if I'm not mistaken, of 11 musicians, continued playing, okay, without her singing. They played two songs, so she took an intermission of about 8 minutes. She did something that is only artists can do. She had a drink. She had a cognac and smoked a cigarette inside a public building, but that's another story. And then after that, she continued singing for another 45 minutes or so, going from song to song with that lovely voice that we just listened to. She is known as the Barefoot Diva. And why is she known as the Barefoot Diva? She sings barefoot. She will not use shoes. She did not. As I mentioned, she passed away a couple of years ago. She will not use shoes, and she said she will never sing with shoes, or would never sing with shoes, and never did, because she wanted to represent the suffering of her people. Cape Verdean Islands continue this day to be a group of islands, an island nation with lots of economic turmoil and with lots of challenges, economically speaking. As I mentioned, they have a very, very strong diaspora, so they have a very, very strong overseas community. Lots of Cape Verdeans in mainland Portugal, lots of them in France, lots of them also here in the United States, in California. I mentioned Sacramento, but a little bit throughout the state. Not many, though, in California, but a very, very large Cape Verdean community in the East Coast of the United States, especially in Massachusetts and Rhode Island. And they're also have immigrated, a few of them, to Canada as well. So they have a very, very strong connection to the New World, such as the Azorean. So there's lots of different similarities. We too have a strong diaspora. We do have a strong connection to North America. We don't have as big of a connection to immigration from the Azores to the European continent as they do. But we have a strong connection, obviously, with our immigration to Brazil. They as well. They weren't exactly immigrants. They were slaves. They were forced to go. Then, of course, immigration to the United States and to Canada. So just like the Cape Verdean Islands, the Azorians also have this strong diaspora. And it is said that we in the Azores have many more Azorians of second, third, and fourth generation in the United States than we do in the Azores itself. We don't have exact totals. We hope that the next census and that project that we've been talking about through PALCAS, the Make Portuguese Count, will help us to find that, because folks can go on the census and you can pick different ethnicities. I'll talk a little bit more about that in future shows. But not only you can pick different ethnicities, because we all have different ethnicities nowadays, but also you can write down up to seven, but you can write down Portuguese and then a subcategory Azorean. So hopefully if people do that, we'll get a little bit better count. But the best we can figure is that in the United States and Canada, but in the U.S. itself, there are over, especially if you count first, second, and third generation, there are over 500,000 people of Azorean. There's over 1.3 million Americans that are Portuguese, but at least 500,000 of those, if not more, are of Azorean background. And, of course, that is double what the population is in the Azorean archipelago. We will continue to feature for today music of Mornish in our second segment. We'll have another song, and we'll have another song in our third segment. But for now, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with the continuing edition of the Portuguese American Hour here on KGST 1600 AM, a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at California State University, Fresno. So do stick around with us. We'll be right back.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
And welcome back to the second segment of this edition of the Portuguese American Hour here on 1600 Multicultural AM, 1600 as I said, Multicultural Radio for the Central San Joaquin Valley, and you can listen to us anywhere online, www.multicultural1600am.com, and also, of course, on any type of the phone apps for radio stations, etc., and our own multicultural app as well. We are a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at the California State University, Fresno, and we're very excited about today's guest because he is a student. I'm always trying to bring students to the Portuguese American Hour here on KGST, and I am so happy to have Blake Martin on the line. He is a student here at the California State University, Fresno. He was my student at the Tulare Union High School. He is a graduate of the Tulare Joint Union High School District from Mission Oak High School. And Blake, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for taking time. I know you're a busy guy. You have a busy schedule. How's things going at Fresno State? What year are you in now, right now?
Yeah, everything's good. I'm a junior right now at Fresno State.
What are you majoring in?
My major is kinesiology, physical education option, mm-hmm. but I have a minor in history and a minor in sports coaching as well.
So you hope to teach?
Yes. Definitely.
Fantastic. We need good teachers, and you'll be a good teacher, I'm sure. I know. Let's talk a little bit about what you're going to be doing here in a few minutes, which is presenting to us a paper that you actually did. And this was a product of a history class, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So the history class, I believe, with Professor Guzman, and the history class had you explore a little bit of your own family history. So I believe you took a photograph that you had of your grandparents, and thus this project came about, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Indeed. Okay, so tell us what you wrote and give us a little bit of an overview. So we'll just listen to your paper because I think it's fascinating. And I would invite all of our listeners to really pay attention to Blake and also to kind of maybe entice in their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, their nephews, their cousins, the idea to look at some family history and to write about it. So, Blake, the microphone is yours.
Okay, thank you. So, yes, this paper, I wrote about a picture. It was an assignment that I had in class. The assignment was an unofficial archives assignment. Mm-hmm. So, basically, what the requirements were just to find something, whether that be an artifact or a photograph, and basically just tell the history behind that. So, what I chose was a picture of my grandparents in front of the dairy that stands today. In Tulare, and this photo was taken in 1972, and then I wrote a story behind the history of that picture. So the story reads, "The history behind this picture is a long, complex, and eventful history. It is a history that is special and exclusive to my family, but it is also a history that is like so many other Portuguese immigrants. When looking at this picture, I immediately think of my family's history and their journey to America. The picture tells us a lot about the historical moment it was created, and this picture shows the climax of my grandparents' life. The picture shows my grandma and grandpa in front of their pride and joy, their newly owned family business, a dairy. The dairy meant everything to my grandpa. It meant that he had made it in this country. It meant that he had accomplished the American dream. One reason that it was so special was because he had to sacrifice so much and jump over many obstacles to make his dream come true. However, the icing on the cake for him was that he did it all with his family right by his side, and he knew that he could count on his three sons to keep the business going. This picture connects to the history of California as well as the history of America. This picture is connected to these histories because this country has a history of giving opportunity to those who seek it and rewarding those who work tremendously hard. Bill Martin, my grandpa, was born in 1924 on the island of Terceira in the Azores. The Azores is a group of islands belonging to Portugal. My grandpa grew up there and became part of the Azorean military. Bell married Gilda Barcelos in 1948 in Terceira. Gilda, my grandma, grew up in the same village as my grandpa on the island of Terceira. 2 years later, in 1950, Bell and his pregnant wife, Gilda, migrated to America. The journey from Terceda had multiple stops and lasted about 3 days. They took a boat from Terceda to San Miguel, another island that is part of the Azores. After arriving in San Miguel, they took a plane to Boston, and then took a train from Boston to California. Other than the clothes on their back, they didn't have much else with them. Bell brought with him the love of cows and farming, and it was what he knew. The biggest thing that my grandparents brought with them was multiple hopes and dreams. My grandparents left their homes and families behind with hopes of a better life. The only thing that they had in America waiting for them was a house and a job, which was provided to them by my grandpa's cousin. My grandparents arrived in Hanford, and my grandma immediately gave birth to her oldest son, the first of five children. The next child came only 10 months later. This picture was taken in 1972, 22 years after their arrival in America. Within these 22 years, my grandparents made a few stops. After they spent some time in Hanford, they then went to Gardena in the Los Angeles area to seek higher wages with hopes of one day starting their own dairy farm. He knew he wanted to come back to Tulare to start his own business one day, but he knew it would be a process, and he knew he had to sacrifice some things in life in order to save money. After Gardena, he came back to the Valley and went to Kingsburg. In Kingsburg, he was a partner of a dairy, but he was still not satisfied. After Kingsburg, he went to Tulare to be a partner of another dairy. At this dairy, my grandparents had their third child and their second boy. After this dairy in Tulare, he then went to another dairy in Tulare, where he owned the cows but rented the land and facilities. The last two kids were born at this dairy, and my grandpa was happy to get one more son. My grandpa's dream of owning his own dairy was getting closer and closer. After a few years, he was finally able to afford his own dairy and start his own business. That is when this picture was taken. They had finally reached the climax of their life. Their dream had come true. My grandparents now felt that all the sacrifices had paid off, and they had finally accomplished what they set out to do. Though working on the dairy farm was hard work, my grandpa did not mind it. It was what he loved to do, and he loved that he was able to do it alongside his three sons. My grandpa was now living the American dream, and he was proud of that. He felt so connected to America that it was important for him to become an American citizen. Though my grandpa was not physically born on the dairy that is pictured, the dairy is where his American dream came to life. He felt that by having this business, it would make life easier for his children, but even more so for his grandchildren. One of his biggest goals was to run a successful business so that his grandchildren could benefit from it and go to college to create an even better life for themselves. That is something that I will forever be grateful for, and I will never be able to pay him back for the sacrifices that he made. Though the dairy business, like everything else, had highs and lows, my grandpa and his sons continued to work hard to make their living. On October 26, 2009, the family dairy and the dynamics surrounding it changed forever. Due to a tragic farming accident, my grandpa passed away after being hit by a tractor that his son, my uncle, was driving. The dairy, which was once a place of hope and pride, had turned to a place of despair and sadness. During the time of the tragedy, the dairy business was also facing some of the worst times financially. Despite the tragedy and the bad economy, my dad and two uncles, using the qualities of hard work and determination that my grandpa had instilled in them, kept working. 2 years later, tragedy struck the family dairy again. On April 9th, 2011, my uncle, who was driving the tractor that killed my grandpa, took his own life. The guilt of my grandpa's death and the stress of the dairy business finally took a toll on him. Yet again, my dad and uncle kept working to honor their late father and brother. My grandpa's sense of resilience and strength was carried on by my dad and uncle as they began to try to rebuild. As time has passed, the sting of the tragedies has gone away, but things will never be the same. The dairy is still operating today, and I know that my grandpa and uncle would be tremendously proud of the way my dad and uncle have kept pushing. My grandpa was proud of how he started this family business, but I think he would be even more proud of the fact that despite all that has happened, it is still running. My grandpa's American dream came to life on the dairy, and he didn't know that his life would end on the same dairy, but he wouldn't want it any other way. My grandparents' story is much like the story of many other Portuguese immigrants at the time of their migration. Though the story of Portuguese immigration is not as popular as the immigration of other groups, it is still significant. Between 1920 and 1960, 65% of California dairymen were of Portuguese descent. Within just 4 miles of my grandpa's dairy in Tulare, there are two other men who have very similar stories. There were also Portuguese immigrants who started their own family dairies. Dairy farming is one of the biggest businesses in the Azores, as well as in the Central Valley. That is why the Central Valley was such a desirable place for many Portuguese immigrants. After my grandpa established his dairy, he helped other Portuguese immigrants by sponsoring them and teaching them about the dairy business here in California. Behind this picture is truly a success story. It is a story of immigrants who successfully accomplished their dreams. The picture contains a family history that has experienced the best of times and the worst of times. The history of the picture contains so many sacrifices and obstacles that all paid off in the end. The picture shows the climax of my grandparents' lives. It was taken at a time when they no longer had to make sacrifices, and they could instead enjoy all that they had accomplished. My grandpa was able to enjoy his pride and joy, the dairy, because he was confident that his three sons would take care of business. My grandpa knew that he had taught his sons the importance of hard work, and by doing this, he was able to take a step back and reflect on all that he had done. My grandparents' story is what the history of America is built on. It is a story of hardworking immigrants who created better lives for themselves in the land of opportunity.
Fantastic. Great story. Well written, and I'm sure you got an A+ from the paper. But more important, it's wonderful that you were able to tell the story of your grandparents, who I know, knew your grandpa well, as you know, and know your grandmother really well, and the whole entire family. So, Blake, thanks so much for taking the time to share this with us. It's impressive, and I appreciate you for writing it. I'm sure your family does as well, but I think all of us in the Portuguese-American community are proud of this piece. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, and happy holidays to you. Merry Christmas.
You as well.
Thank you. And so that is Blake Martin. Blake, as you mentioned, wrote this piece in honor of his grandparents and of his whole entire family, but his grandparents, Bell and Gilda Martin, named Belchior, as we knew him in the Portuguese-American community in Tulare, a very, very, very well-respected family and well-known. Belchior Martins, besides being a dairyman, besides being a hard worker, was known for his volunteer work as well in Portuguese American organization, and for having this this passion for what is called in the Azorean community as cantoria singing, or that is a duet, and that is when you put two people with a couple of guitars in the background and they sing ad-libbing, and the verses have to rhyme, the first with the third, the second with the fourth, and they sing about a topic for sometimes as long as 35 or 40 minutes, rhyming, and totally, of course, improvise. Mr. Belchior Martins, Bell Martin, was really good at this as well. His family is from the Tulare area. I know that some of our listeners know them. I know them well, and so proud, obviously, of Blake and his work. And that is what college does, and that is what is important about taking these courses, as he took this one from Professor Romeo Guzman, who's an excellent professor, who does a lot also with oral history, who I've learned a lot from in the oral history world. In this course, he was able to take this picture and write this memoir of his family in America. You know, the good times, the not so good times, the tragedies, the triumphs, but also, you know, a way to pass on this family history. One tidbit before we go to our break, which is coming up real quick, and we'll continue with the third and last segment of the Portuguese American Hour, where we'll have our recipe of the week. We'll talk a little bit about our moment in Portuguese history, and we'll have another song of the Morna. But a little bit about the Martin family as well is that when I came to the United States, and this is a more of a personal note, but it's kind of one, as Blake shared his story about his grandparents, he kept on mentioning this is the American dream. This is what other immigrants from other nationalities go through as well. I think we all have this commonality. And it's not just a it's a Portuguese-American story, but it can be also a Mexican-American story, a Polish-American story, you know, any other stories, a Japanese-American story. I came to the United States, as some of you know, and some of you may remember the first program that we did that Justice wanted to know everything about my life. I came to the United States when I was 9. Actually, I turned 10 in the island of San Miguel, so I arrived at the U.S. already being 10 years old. And I went to a little school that still exists, Palo Verde Elementary School, and I went to the fourth grade, although I had finished already the fourth grade in Portugal, but they put me back in the fourth grade again. And in the fourth grade, I had I didn't know a single word of English, like many immigrants and their kids when they arrive, many Portuguese, many Mexican-Americans, many Japanese-Americans, etc. So I went to this school, and the school year had begun because we arrived at the end of October. I believe I went to school the beginning of November. We came at the end of October, I should say. And we arrived on the 28th of October. And so I went to school a few days later, beginning of November, right after Halloween. And I recall vividly in that I was in the fourth grade and I didn't know anything was going on. I was kind of sitting in the back of the class, kind of just looking around and being mesmerized about what was going on. And there was a young lady, still young. I'm the one that's old, but she's still young. And that's Linda Martin, who is Blake's aunt. Blake is the son of Gabe and Julie Martin. And Linda was my colleague in the fourth grade. And Linda helped me tremendously and got me out of a lot of trouble because of a couple of instances that happened, including one time where I was not a nice guy because two other kids were bullying me because of my lack of knowledge of the English language, but I knew some choice words that I used, which were not proper for school, and Linda covered my tracks. She not only covered my tracks, she helped me tremendously with the issue that I was having. I was pretty good at math, and I was pretty good at some of the other subjects, but not knowing the language, I was bad at all of them. Mm-hmm. And it was through Linda that I was able to integrate, and in the, you know, 6 months later, pass the course and actually pass it with an A, and go on to the fifth grade. And then I moved, my parents moved to a different area, by that time, obviously, I knew English, but Linda was my lifesaver during the fourth grade at Palo Verde School in Tulare. We all have an immigrant story, and please have your kids, please have your grandkids, please have your great-grandkids or your nephews or nieces. Actually, when they develop through these courses that they take at the university, even at the high school level, it's important that they get in touch with their roots and they write about it. It's important for them, and it's important for your entire family. Again, thank you very much to Blake Martin, student at the CSU Fresno, and thank you to the Martin's family, who are an epitome of all the other families that also put their life and their soul into building an American dream here in the United States and continuing to foster their Portuguese culture. We'll be right back with the third and last segment of the Portuguese American Hour.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
Sabim largan, es cosa eu afronta, o lacacoa está bem, senão é tamanã. Oi, sabim largan, es cosa eu afronta, o lacacoa está bem, senão é tamanã. Soldado tem de bomba, cacoa e cacre, já me flapa vou largan, senão é tamanã. Soldado tem de bomba.
Welcome to all of you. We are back again. Thank you for joining us on the last segment of the Portuguese American Hour, a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at the California State University, Fresno. Indeed, the Institute is doing lots and lots of different things. One of our projects, as you all know, is the Portuguese Oral History Project, and we'll be talking extensively about that in the next few weeks, so please stay tuned. We have our lecture series, and we just had our last one about a week ago with Sam Pereira, who was also our guest, the poet, and it was a magnificent lecture. Even today, I had two students who told me that they enjoyed it tremendously. Sam read from his work. He put the poems in context. It was a lovely evening. Presentation that lasted about an hour with really, really emotional poetry. And Sam has promised to be back on the Portuguese American Hour pretty soon. We'll be talking to him again and having him actually read a few of his poems here on the air as well. And today we will be having our moment in Portuguese history. And since we're talking about Mornas and that music that you heard in the first segment by Cesária Évora, we'll hear another song, and if we have time, maybe two. But our moment in Portuguese history will be about the Portuguese-speaking world, so outside of Portugal, but a country that speaks Portuguese. So we'll give you a little bit of historical data about the islands of Cabo Verde. And do make sure that you are tuning in also on Friday when we'll have our poem of the week, our book of the week, and all of the other segments. That's coming up usually on our Friday edition. So our moment in history is about the islands of Cabo Verde, also called Cape Verde. It is a country comprising of a group of islands that lie 385 miles off of the coast of the African continent. So the official name is República de Cabo Verde, or the Republic of Cape Verde. The form of government is a multi-party republic with one legislative house. It's called the National Assembly. The head of state is the president, and the president's name is Jorge Carlos Fonseca. The head of government is the prime minister, and the prime minister is Ulisses Correia e Silva. The capital of the island nation is Praia. The official language is Portuguese. So when I mean the official language, there are still quite a few people that speak Creole. Most people are bilingual. They speak Creole and Portuguese, but it is the language that is being taught in school. So when you go to school at the age of six in Cabo Verde, the language that all instruction is delivered is Portuguese. So as the years passed, that wasn't the situation, or a lot of people didn't go to school. But as that becomes the official language in school, and it has been for almost 50 years now, now most people speak Portuguese and something else. The population in Cabo Verde is around 550,000, with a projected population of around 619 by 2030. The population is kind of interesting. It's although it's an island nation, it's a very urban island nation. So 65% of the people of Cabo Verde live in an urban setting, and only 34% live in a rural setting. Life expectancy in Cabo Verde is interesting because in lots of African nations, the life expectancy is very low. It's still lower than other areas, but in Cabo Verde, the male life expectancy is 71 years and the female is 75 years. It has increased quite a bit. And the literacy rate, compared to other African countries, is also pretty much very interesting indeed. So the literacy rate for people who are of age 15 or older, so 87.8% of the men in Cabo Verde can read and write, which is really great for African terms. And the female rate is 84.1%. The unfortunate situation is that it is still a very poor country in lots of aspects, and the average monthly or the average yearly salary for Cabo Verdean people is still under $3,000 a year, $2,995. So it's still quite a bit less than other European actually a big increase compared to other much poorer African nations. Cabo Verde is named for the westernmost cape of Africa. And it is located near Senegal, and it, the largest port in the island is located in the island of Mindelo on São Vicente, or the area of Mindelo that is in São Vicente, and the capital of the country is the city of Praia. Every one of my friends who has visited Cabo Verde has loved it for its culture, for its people, for its music. And talking about the music, let's listen to another bit of the Mornas, which will soon be a World Heritage music, just like Fado is in Portugal and other musics throughout the world. Morna is in the process of being a World Heritage music. Lots of my friends love the music, the foods, the culture, and the people. Very, very warm and very, very friendly. Here is another song interpreted by the Queen of Mornas, Cesária Évora.
Bom papá que foi fogueiro, nem tão pouco chegador, nem marinheiro, nem catraeiro, nem carpinteiro, nem pedreiro de foi, nem padeiro, nem pescador, e nem também catador. Dificuldade, boca consciente, pobreza, pavor, e lenda de gente gentil. Boa liberdade, boca brigar, pensem que é boa na vida, para julgar e lidar desse nosso país. Boa papá que foi fogueiro, nem tão pouco chegador, nem marinheiro, nem cadeiro, nem carpinteiro, nem pedreiro foi, nem padeiro, nem pescador, e nem também catador. Dificuldade, boca consciente, pobreza, pavor, e lenda de gente gentil. Por liberdade, boca brigar, mensem que é boa na vida, para julgar a realidade desse nosso país. A morte cristã está todo calor, justiça de povo nunca tem voz. Lá de boa tribuna, bota insultar, e calúnia te Deus nasceu. Na turma de vós seu tu tem limite, vou poder que é infinito. Ele que cabeu pra amor cristão tá estado calor, justiça de povo nunca tem voz. Na tua tribuna vou te insultar, e calúnia te Deus nasceu. Na turma de vós seu tu tem limite, vou poder que é infinito. Ele que cabe, o papá que foi fogueiro, nem tão pouco chegador, nem marinheiro, nem catraeiro, nem carpinteiro, nem pedreiro foi, nem padeiro, nem pescador, e nem também catador. Dificuldade, boca concheio, pobreza, pavor, e lenda de gente gentil, por liberdade, boca brigar. Pensem que morre na vida, para julgar a realidade desse nosso país. O papá que foi fogo, nem tão pouco chegador, nem marinheiro.
And that was Cesária Évora, a little bit of the Morna music, as our moment in history was about the islands of Cabo Verde, the Cape Verde Islands, off of the coast of Africa, a island nation, Portuguese nation, that is. Let me try that one again. A Portuguese language nation. There are eight nations in the world that the official language is Portuguese, and Cabo Verde is one of them. Lovely music. What do you think of that music, Justice? What do you think of the Mornas?
I really like it, and in comparison to other stuff that we played on here, you can definitely hear the different influences on it.
Correct.
It's very nice.
Some very unique African influences in it and everything else.
They complement each other very
percussion,
well.
Everything else. Yeah, good. Yeah. I'm glad you enjoyed it. It's one of my favorite musics. Mm-hmm. So we had promised you the recipe of the week, and here it is as we come on the last few minutes. We have about 6 minutes or so of the Portuguese American Hour, a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at California State University, Fresno. Our recipe of the week is something called biscoitos, or some kind of a biscuit, a cookie. And it is very traditional. People love to make them, especially around the holiday season. That's why we are talking about them. This is a very easy recipe to make. All the recipes are easy as long as you take time. Portuguese recipes take time.
Patience.
And sometimes I actually add time to it. This morning I was making a soup for us and for my in-laws and for my mom. My mom is elderly. She's 85 years old. My in-laws are elderly as well. And my wife and I are the ones that cook for them. And so they love soups, and I do too. And it was a sopa de nabos, which Portuguese people know what that is, mustard greens, and the soup with a little bit of linguiça, some potatoes, some sweet potatoes. And my wife says, you just make everything too hard on yourself because you can make this easier. And so she's right. She's right. I do bring hardship on myself. I don't know what it is. I'm cursed. But anyway, this is called biscoitos. And the recipe calls for 3.5 cups of flour, 2.5 teaspoons of baking powder, 2 tablespoons of butter, 2 tablespoons of shortening, 1 cup of sugar, 3 eggs, and a little bit of lemon, grated lemon, and grated the peel. And so in a large bowl, you will mix the flour, the sugar, the baking powder. Make well in the center of it. Okay, so in the center of that, mix it in well. And then make a little well in the center of it. And you add the butter, the shortening, the eggs, and a little bit of the lemon peel that is grated. You knead until smooth. So beat that up until it's smooth. Drop by tablespoons on the well greased baking sheet. So after it's all been ready to go, but the dough is ready, you put a few, drop it in as like tablespoons. Okay, so a tablespoon of it on a baking sheet. You can make them different styles if you want to, different ways. You can make it just flat, or you can make it with a little bit of a design. Bake in a preheated oven at about 375 degrees for about 18 to 20 minutes. And this recipe makes about 2.5 dozen biscoitos, which are excellent to have with coffee in the morning, or with tea, or with whatever your favorite beverage is. But it's so it's kind of a biscuits, kind of a very simple biscuits that has a little bit of a sweetness to it, obviously because of the sugar, the eggs, and everything else. But it's not really used as a dessert, although you could. But it's used as kind of a morning biscuit or a mid-afternoon snack with tea or with coffee. All right, and so that is biscoitos, the recipe of the week this week on the Portuguese American Hour. And I should say when we say this week, because we try to have at least one recipe per week. But since we are now on 5 days a week, we have expanded. Actually, some weeks we'll have 2 or 3 recipes. And we invite folks who are listening to me. We've had a few of them call in, and I have a couple of them that are scheduled to call in. But sometimes folks cannot get in the exact time because of everybody's working. Everybody's busy. But if you have 2 or 3 minutes here and there, we'd love to have you on the Portuguese American Hour giving your traditional recipe. Some of you have given already a couple of them, but we would love to have you back. Those of you who have been our guests, and those of you who haven't, just get a hold of me. You can get a hold of me through social media. You can get a hold of me through email. It's just give you that information. It's dborges@mail.fresnostate.edu. So kind of simple, dborges@mail.fresnostate.edu. And also can get a hold of me by phone, 559-280-2871. So we'd love to have different people give different recipes, not just me, but different recipes are important to have. As we come up on the end of the Portuguese American Hour, just remember that right now we are hitting to the end of the semester at California State University of Fresno, so students are busy doing their finals and all their final projects. But next semester we have 4 events planned, with the 5th one as a symposium, and we'll be talking about the dates already starting next week. So be in tune to us, and you'll hear all that will be happening at the California State University of Fresno as far as the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute and all the great events we have for you for the spring semester. It is good to note that all of the events that we have that are in the evening, and they are mostly all in the evening, other than the symposium that we will have on April 25th during the morning, the rest, that's a Saturday morning from 9 until 12:30. All the other events are at 6 o'clock, usually at the library or the University Business Auditorium, and they are all at 6 o'clock, as I said, to allow time for people to travel after their work. And also, they are all free of charge, so there's never a charge for any of these lectures, any of these events at the California State University of Fresno, promoted by the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute. Thank you, Jesus, for spending the hour with us, for your help there on the board.
Thank you.
You were kind of silent because you're busy with all those buttons. And thank you all for joining us on another edition of the Portuguese American Hour. Do tune in every weekday, 4 to 5 p.m. It's a daily dosage of the Portuguese American Hour, all that is Portuguese at Fresno State, and all that is Portuguese throughout the Central Valley and the state of California. We appreciate you listening, and we'll see you on the next edition of the Portuguese American Hour.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
This was a special program on Multicultural 1600 AM.